I'm Deb Morgan, the Real Relationships Expert, and I'm here on the Real Relationships Show sharing my solo sessions. These sessions are accumulation of my expertise, my experience, my thoughts, my opinion, the answers to questions I get asked in my email and on my socials, and the questions that I answer every week on my regular radio slot. So grab a drink, sit back, relax, and let's get ready to start changing your life by changing your relationship. Hi Andy, it's good to be back this week. And we've had a couple of questions through which I want to answer, but I'm going to go for one today that really struck a nerve with me as well. And it's come in from a gentleman calling himself Mike. I don't know if that's his real name or not. And he writes, "Hi Deb, I'm not sure if I'm in an abusive relationship. I don't get beaten or physically hurt, but I always feel as if I'm not good enough, as if everything is my fault and that whatever I do is wrong. I buy gifts regularly, flowers, chocolate, clothes, jewellery, take her out for meals and to nice events, but nothing ever seems or feels as if I've done the right thing. If I wear a suit, she tells me I should wear jeans, and if I wear jeans, I should be in a suit. If I engage her friends in conversation, she says I'm flirting with them, and if I try to engage with other people, she says I'm showing off and embarrassing myself and her. I feel like I'm becoming invisible and don't know how to please her. I love her and want to be the perfect man for her, but everything I do seems to be wrong." Oh my goodness, Mike. You have obviously clearly put your heart on your sleeve in writing this email, and thank you so much for sending it in, because I know that's not easy to ask for help in a situation like this. And I want to answer your first question, which is, I'm not sure if I'm in an abusive relationship. I have to be honest with you, Mike, if you are asking that question, then in truth, you know what the truth is. If you feel that you are being abused, the likelihood is that you are. And abusive relationships don't have to be physically or sexually abusive. They can be emotionally abusive, psychologically abusive, or as is now known, coercive control. And from my own experience, and the experience of lots of people I've spoken to about this, that can be the worst, because you spend all of your time questioning yourself. And because it is so subtle, and because other people don't see it happening, and you don't have bruises or cuts or scars or broken bones, it's really hard for other people to believe that you're being abused. And more so perhaps for men. And that's why I've picked Mike's email this week, because it has come from a man. And we are used to hearing about domestic abuse towards women, but we're not used to hearing it towards men, although it is getting more and more headlines now. But whether you are a male or a female, whether you are in a heterosexual relationship or a same-sex relationship, and you are feeling this way, it still constitutes abuse. And one of the first things I would signpost you to is the cycle of abuse. Now, this can be applied to physical and sexual abuse, and it can be applied to psychological or emotional abuse or coercive control. And I want to talk through that with you. And this is a really heavy subject for this evening, so perhaps we'll take a break now and I will come back and talk through the cycle of abuse after we've had a musical interlude. Oh, what a great song. Thanks, Andy. So I promised to talk to you about the cycle of abuse. And I want, if you can imagine, a circle. It's a cycle. It's circular. And in the first phase of the abuse, tensions start to build. And this, as I said earlier, is relevant whether it's a physically abusive relationship, sexually abusive relationship, or if it is coercive control, psychologically or emotionally abusive, or any other form of abuse. And the first phase of this is the tensions are building. It's the stage where you know that there's something wrong, but you probably don't know what it is, but you're noticing warning signs that your partner isn't happy. You're probably walking on eggshells, and you're desperately trying to make sure you do the right thing, whatever that might be. And that's what Mike has suggested in his email to us this evening. And the likelihood is that even the right thing will be the wrong thing for your partner, and you probably feel quite nervous and tense. And I'm picking a lot of that up from Mike's email. So I suspect that's the phase he's currently feeling he's in writing this email. Now, the next phase two, is the incident. And this could be an argument. It could be that your partner decides that they or you are not going to attend an event that you've been looking forward to because of something you've supposedly done. Insults and threats from your partner are likely to increase, and they will probably start to blame all sorts of things on you. And this will be what's known as the flashpoint, where you're left in no doubt that you've done something seriously wrong in the eyes of your partner. And when you've moved on from that, we then end up in reconciliation. Now, Mike hasn't mentioned anything about this in his email and in the information he sent through, but I suspect that this is a pattern that he is familiar with. After an incident, there will be a reconciliation, and thereby you'll receive an apology. It'll either be a direct apology, or it could be something really subtle that you'll recognise is your partner's way of apologising. They'll excuse the incident and they'll blame it on someone or something else entirely. But you might even be told that it was your fault. Or they'll make you think that the incident wasn't as bad as you think it was. But however they colour it, you will be left under no illusion that, as far as they're concerned, the incident is over, forgotten about, and you are forgiven. Then we come on to phase four, and this is where everything becomes calm. Life carries on as normal, as if nothing has happened. Your partner will be treating you with grace and respect, and you'll probably be wondering if you imagined everything to do with the incident. And this phase will continue again until the next time you sense tension starting to build, and the cycle will start again. Now, there's no fixed time scale for any of these phases, so you might recognize some of them. You might think, oh, that doesn't happen to me. You don't recognize the cycle. But now that you are aware of it, you may start to notice it in your own relationship. You know, as I've said, there's no fixed time scale for each phase of this cycle. Every relationship is different. And for some people, this cycle go from stage one to stage four in the course of a day, maybe even in the course of an hour. But for other people, it will occur over the course of a number of days, weeks, or even months. But you will probably recognize each of the phases of this cycle if you are in that sort of relationship. And I think it's important to be aware of that, to recognize it, because when you know what you are dealing with, then you can make some decisions that work for you. And Mike, if you would like to get in touch, I am happy to signpost you to some places that can help you. I'm happy to have a conversation with you, happy to speak over email if that's easier. But certainly, from where I'm sitting, from what you have told me, you are not in a healthy relationship. I suspect you are in an abusive relationship. It sounds as if there are conditions attached to what you do and to how you receive love from your partner. And ultimately, nobody can force you to stay in a relationship you're not happy in. Nobody can force you to leave a relationship you're not happy in. What I can tell you from the clients I've worked with and from my own experience is that the scariest moment is the moment you decide you are leaving. Because at that point, you have no idea how things are going to work out. What I promise you is that things do work out. It may not work out instantly, And you may, for a while, feel as if you've gone from the frying pan into the fire in terms of how you're having to live, how you're surviving, how you're having to cope. But remember that whilst you are going through a relationship and going through these cycles of abuse in a relationship, you're very much in survival mode and you are doing whatever you have to do to stay alive. And this goes back, and I mentioned it years and years ago, weeks ago, I've talked about it for many years. It goes back to our genetics, it goes back to just really our DNA. You know, we are triggered to survive. We are programmed to survive, and we will do anything we need to do in order to survive. And it is when our brain senses danger that that survival instinct kicks in. If you're living like that, it can do serious, serious damage to you, health damage to you in the long term. And I really, really might implore you, please reach out, please ask for help elsewhere. Email me again on the show, and I can signpost you to the places that can help you. But please be assured that if you choose to leave, you will be taking the first step in recovery. And I call it recovery because you have to heal from a relationship like this. And it can take a long time. Things have got really, really heavy here this evening quite quickly. But it's important that we share our relationships that don't feel good, that we are concerned about, that make us feel afraid, because it's only by talking about them that we can actually help those around us to recognize what an abusive relationship is, but also to recognize that it's okay to ask for help and that moving out of that relationship is actually good for you and a healthy thing to do. Also, by talking about it, it may actually enable some perpetrators to recognize that they are, in fact, perpetrators. I can count numerous occasions where I have spoken at events, where I have shared my own personal story, and people have come up to me afterwards and said, "That's you've just described how I treat my partner. I had no idea how I was making them feel. Thank you so much for sharing your story. You've made me reconsider the way I treat my partner." If we can educate people, if I can educate people as to what is and isn't acceptable in a relationship, then I have done my job. And if I can help those of you going through a relationship the same way that Mike is going through, then I have done my job as well. Mike, please do get in touch. Let us know how you're getting on. And anybody else out there, if you recognize any of this in your own relationship and it makes you feel uncomfortable and you feel like you are walking around on eggshells, as the saying goes, please reach out and get in touch. There is help available for you. Andy, thank you so much. Let's have some more fantastic music, and I will speak to you again next week.
Join me in the next solo session where I'll be intimately yours once more. I'm Deb Morgan, the Real Relationships Expert, and you've been listening to The Real Relationships Show. Don't forget to like, subscribe, support, or send me a voice message, and you might feature in a future episode.